from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vasily Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll get a preview of this year's Start With Art Luncheon that kicks off the fall season.
I'll chat with magician Kayla Drescher about her return to the Indie Fringe Festival.
And speaking of Fringe, I'll chat with performer Sam Simon about his one-man storytelling play at the Fringe, and we'll have that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Indianapolis has bragging rights to one of the biggest, perhaps the biggest, business and arts luncheons in the country. Start With Art is coming up on Friday, August 29th from 11:30 to 1:30 at the Indianapolis Marriott Downtown. And Sharon Gamble invited Arts Council of Indianapolis's president, Dave Lawrence, to tell us what we're doing right as a community and why this year's keynote speaker will have you rethinking our city's public spaces.
So you were on recently with Karen Gentleman talking about a new art study, and I'm happy to have you back to talk about the Start With Art Business and Arts Luncheon, because if we needed any more proof of how vibrant our community is, Start With Art does it.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you and talk about an exciting upcoming event that really is the kickoff to the new art season. And I can't believe we're here again.
And yes, we know some of our listeners work for arts organizations that don't take any time off in the summer, and you produce year round or have exhibits year round. We feel your pain, too. But hopefully you took a little bit of a breath, got a little bit of a refresher in there, and you're ready to start again. This is one of the biggest arts and business events in the country.
You know, it's exciting and a little daunting to think about that. But yes, as we were working last year to put Start With Art together, and through my national colleagues, I just sort of discovered this fact that there's many cities that do sort of a business and arts luncheon, but it's usually about 300 or 400 people.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, some even, I think there's a couple that get 500 or 600, but you know, with almost 1,200 in attendance here in Indianapolis, it's truly one of the largest in the country.
I think we were more than 300 or 400, 500 or 600 the first year, weren't we? Which was 20, wait, how many years
ago? This will be 28.
Oh, my Lord. How did that happen? So I know you weren't here to help start with art, but what do you know about the origins and how much it's evolved in intent from the beginning?
Well, in fact, Start With Art started even before the Arts Council existed. It was like one of the first things that sort of was the impetus, I believe, in what I can find. That really started us down that path. And it began, I believe, with a directory. So it was a Start With Art directory.
Oh.
It was sort of directory of the arts organizations. And our good friend Joyce Summers told me, you know, I recently, she said, you know, I came up with the term Start With Art. So
oh my gosh.
That was a new fact that I had learned.
Thank you, Joyce.
Yes, thank you, Joyce. We're indebted to you. And another key person in the arts community, Lorene Burkhart, was also instrumental in starting Start With Art. So again, I think from the beginning, it's always been an event, an opportunity to celebrate the arts, and for a way to show the community just how much the community does appreciate, support, and celebrate everything that goes on in our arts community. I think what it's evolved into is also a wonderful family reunion for the arts organizations. You know, you mentioned that some of our arts organization friends do work year-round. So instead of a kickoff, it is that opportunity just to get back together and say hello. And it's always one of the challenges. Here's a little insider tip or a little insider information about Start With Art. It's one of the biggest challenges is to get the event started on time, because everyone loves to catch up with everybody and see all their friends and meet meet new ones. So it's an exciting day that really does show just what a wonderfully diverse and full arts community we have here in Indianapolis.
There's got to be a way to monetize that. Can we find some sponsors to underwrite mid-morning coffee for all those artists and arts administrators? So by the time to start the luncheon, they'll be caught up. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Speaking of sponsors, we're having this conversation. It's the last week of July, and you're almost full up with sponsors, and will be by the time our listeners hear this conversation.
Yes, thank you. You know, one of the other key reasons that Start With Art exists is it is the sole fundraiser for the Arts Council of Indianapolis. So we work very hard to not compete with the arts organizations that we support through grants and other programs. So this event is important to us because it's a genuine source of income for us. And I'm happy to report that due to our Start With Art committee that is chaired by Yvonne Shaheen, who does an absolutely phenomenal job with this event. It wouldn't be what it is without Yvonne Shaheen. And our honorary corporate chairs this year, Jeff and Heather Simoleon, we are way ahead of last year in terms of our sponsorship, and we're going to be approaching our goal very soon. That doesn't mean that we won't take a new sponsor here or there, but the community really comes out to support Start With Art because the larger community understands just how important this event is for the entire arts community.
Absolutely. I always like to pause and step back, especially since new listeners are joining our program, discovering us all the time. For somebody who's sitting there listening to this thinking, wait a minute, I thought the Arts Council got its funding through city tax dollars. Explain why you need to do a fundraiser.
Oh, this is great. Yes. So the funding that we get from the city of Indianapolis goes right back out to grants. So there's a very little piece of it that stays for our auditors to look at all the audits of the arts organizations that apply for grants and also then to pay for the panel costs to bring all of our panelists together. But the rest of that money all goes out. So we actually have to fundraise to keep our lights on and for all the other programs and services that we offer. And so Start With Art is a key way for us to do that.
Sure. So that money is going to support, and you have a small staff that has an enormous reach, but anybody who's enjoyed public art or who has gone to a First Friday gallery opening at Gallery 924 or who has benefited in some way because of your education and interaction with public servants, that's why you're raising money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, drum roll, our speaker this year is?
Our speaker is David Rubin of the Land Collective, who has done a lot of work in Indianapolis, most recently on the Common Ground at the new Eskenazi Hospital. And so he comes to us as a landscape architect and a designer of urban spaces. And I think he's going to really share some notions about how we can use the arts and design to create social spaces and create new opportunities for engagement in our communities. With the completion of the fantastic Indianapolis Cultural Trail and all of the things that are going on here, Indianapolis is really engaged in understanding, creating, and making public spaces and using the arts to do that. So I think he'll offer some real keen insights on how we can take that work even further.
It's such an interesting time to live and work in the arts and in Indianapolis because it feels as though we're, you know, our friends over at the Spirit and Place Festival have been on to this for years, figuring out where the intersection of arts, culture, place, and spirit or soul, mm-hmm. where that intersection is. And it feels as though we're living through kind of a holistic period where we're reconnecting.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I sort of feel like, and I've talked to others in the arts community about this too, there's been sort of a shift here in Indianapolis recently where the arts are now seen as absolutely integral to all of these things, to commerce and to economic development, to attracting businesses and certainly tourists and residents, and obviously creating spaces. And I, you know, instead of all of us having to just preach this from the mountaintops all the time, people are beginning to repeat it back to us. And I think that I'm seeing this shift, and it's wonderful to behold. And I think that anything that we can do collectively to push this forward can only strengthen everything that we're trying to do in Indianapolis, and including integration of the arts. Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward with our keynote speaker. You're also looking back and recognizing some organizations as well as some individuals, institutions through the Artie Awards at the Start With Art Luncheon. Remind us of the categories of those.
Sure. We give 5 Artie Awards. They are for a corporation, a small business, a volunteer or patron, an arts educator. And then also we give an Artie Award called the Artful Impact, which goes to that one big thing that everybody's been talking about the last year in the arts. And this is a wonderful way to recognize and celebrate those individuals and businesses who really have this past year made a difference in the arts. I know they take it very seriously and are very appreciative of the awards. And it's just a way that we can congratulate and thank them for all their work and support.
And who's to, there's always the actual physical award is designed by an artist. Can you say who the artist who designed this year's awards?
For the first time, this is by an artist that is not from Indianapolis and not living here currently in Indianapolis. There is, as I'm sure most of your listeners know, a effort that is being co-led by the Arts Council and also the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee to put a new piece of art on the cultural trail celebrating the rich heritage and history of the African-American community. And so the artist who has been selected for that artwork has actually designed the Artie Awards this year. And they are, each of the Arties is going to be a piece or a segment of the larger work of this new piece of work.
What a cool idea.
They look fantastic, and I can't wait for everybody to see this. So
wow.
The artist's name is Bernard Williams, and he's from Chicago. So he's busy working on them right now. We've seen a few maquettes of the finished work, and mm-hmm. they're going to be spectacular.
Fantastic. In the off chance that there might still be tickets available to Start With Art, as our listeners are hearing this, can they still do that through your website?
Thank you. Yes. IndyArts.org, IndyArts.org. Tickets are still available. There are individual seats, and you can also purchase tables directly from the website. And the event is on Friday, August 29th, begins at 11:30, and it's at the Indianapolis Marriott downtown, not the JW, but the Indianapolis Marriott downtown, in the ballroom on the second floor.
Fantastic. Hey, I wanted, since we mentioned your website, people who haven't been there for a while may notice you've done some pretty dramatic redesign in the last year or so.
There has been some big changes to the website. We've streamlined a lot of information, tried to make what we do as clear as we can on every single page, and there's a lot of links to our two big initiatives, the Indie Arts Guide, which is the online calendar that's got thousands of events throughout Indianapolis, and also links to Power to Give, which is the fundraising platform. And there's always something exciting and new on there, and an opportunity for folks to give a dollar or 10 or whatever they'd like to. So yeah, a lot of work on our website to enhance the user experience.
Sharon Gamble with Arts Council of Indianapolis's President Dave Lawrence. The annual Start With Art Business and Arts Luncheon is Friday, August 29th. From 11:30 to 1:30 at the Indianapolis Marriott downtown, and you can still get tickets at IndieArts.org. Again, IndieArts.org.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. Year, magician Kayla Drescher had just won David Copperfield's Next Great Magician contest when she made her debut at the Indy Fringe Festival. This year, she comes back as a veteran with a new show and a new approach to magic. Our own magician Travis DiNicola spoke with her in our studio.
Kayla, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Welcome back to Indianapolis.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is so cool. So last year, when I first met you and had you on Art of the Matter, it was your first year at Indie Fringe. And you had just won the David Copperfield Next Great Magician Contest, which was pretty cool.
Yes, that was great.
So has your life totally changed in the past year because of Fringe?
Yes, solely because of Fringe. I moved across the country, which is pretty crazy. I moved from Boston to Las Vegas, and I've only been in Vegas for a few months now. And to be honest, I really haven't been there too much, but I just love the atmosphere and the magic community is so supportive.
It's a great place for magicians.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, there are so many magicians, which is great because you can learn from so many people.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. Well, that's cool. So now, are you performing at all in Vegas, or is it just a good place for you to sort of call home and use as a home base?
A little bit of both. It's a wonderful home base, and I'm very happy at having it as a home base. But I'm sort of performing everywhere, and I still do the corporate stuff in Vegas, which is great. Not like a full Illusion Copperfield-style show.
Sure.
But I'm still performing in town and out of town and all up and down the West Coast, and I've got a East Coast tour coming up in September. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's really great.
Now, are you able to do magic full time now?
I am, yeah.
Because I think you were still doing some bartending and doing a little magic as you were a bartender or magic at the bar last time we talked.
Yes, I was still doing the bartending and the bar show, which was so great. Mm-hmm. But now as I've moved, I've been, you know, really happy to say that I can do magic full time, and it's going super well now, and I'm excited to keep going forth with that.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
Great. Now, okay, so I remember last year that there was some you were doing the Fringe show. There were some other great magicians that were doing the Fringe, and I love magic, and I'm always chatting up magicians and stuff. And I heard from a couple of them that they were kind of taking you under their wing, giving you some pointers, like Christian Catalina that do Married to Magic.
Yeah.
So I mean, honestly, did that change your approach at all?
Oh, so much. Christian and Catalina are just so wonderful, and I had only really met them a few months before I came here in January, and they came to my show, and you know, they invited me to their home, and they made me breakfast and fed me Hungarian pancakes, which are great.
Kind of awesome.
And then it was awesome. And then
they
just
see their little dog.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, what that dog is grand. They basically just, you know, in the best of ways, ripped my show apart, and it could not have been a more positive experience. And because of them, my show has changed so much, and just everything about my performance style has changed significantly because of that moment. And I can't thank them enough for all they've done.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really great to have their support, and I'm so excited to see them again. And yeah, I'm so happy to have had them help me.
Well, they're great magicians.
So
they do an incredible mentalist act, and they perform downtown every weekend at the Hilton Hotel.
Yes.
But when you say ripped your show apart, that sounds a little painful. And so, I mean, what was that like? I mean, to sort of, you know, get their guidance and to, I mean, you kind of really had to re-examine the entire way you were presenting yourself.
Yeah, it's when people say ripped their show apart, it could be both negative, or it could be either negative or positive. But if you are really excited to grow and learn, and you're doing this for the learning experience, it's only positive. So I remember one of the things they said to me was that I looked like I didn't look good on stage. And I said, oh, I didn't really notice that. And then I went back and watched myself and said, oh, wow, I really don't. And that just changed everything. And, you know, in the moment, it's like, well, darn, how come I don't look good? And then, but it changes everything. And I feel like I've grown so much.
I mean, magic is, I mean, obviously the tricks are really important.
Sure.
And you're awesome with your magical skills. Yeah, I love watching what you do.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, you kind of came out there and you know, kind of like this, I don't know, just like someone who just got out of college and just kind of like, you know, I mean, you weren't quite in your sweats, but you're kind of like, hey, I'm going to sort of tell you a story I've been thinking about. But, you know, and a lot of magic is presentation and storytelling.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, you kind of changed both those things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My appearance is completely different on stage, and every routine that I did at the last Fringe Festival is utterly and completely different. It's the same effect and the same trick, if you will, but the presentation is so different. And that's really what Christian and Catalina stressed to me,
that's
was
cool.
to make it so unique and so different that it can't be replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a lot of things that at that moment were the sort of the first time I was going through these routines. So they were very, you know, reading the script off of the directions of the trick that I bought.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's so different.
Now
and
it's you. It's
yeah,
your story.
It's, and if someone else tries to tell my story in terms of these routines, it's not going to match them.
Right.
So it's really great. And I feel like I've grown so much, and I'm really excited to be almost debuting a few new routines at this Fringe Festival.
So cool.
And I'm hoping that they'll go well. I'm so excited.
What's an example of like a trick or a story or presentation that you changed?
Oh, so there is, I would assume you know from the last show that I did the routine where the audience actually makes the sound of a thunderstorm.
Right, right. Okay.
And the last time I did it, it was completely silent. I love the routine, and I've always gotten great reaction to it, and it's just really fun because it gets the whole audience involved, and
mm-hmm.
it's great for every age, and it's so much fun. And now it's changed. Now there's a story with it.
Okay.
It's actually really passionate and deep, and it tells a story about my life, and I think it helps the audience not only relate to me, but also to sort of spark an emotion in them that they might not otherwise feel in a magic show. And I'm really excited to show this to Indy basically first. They're the first audience to see it. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think if you get a chance to come to the show, I think you're really going to like it.
Well, part of the reason why I really wanted to have you back on the air again this year is exactly for this. I mean, here, you know, you got to come to Indy Fringe last year and, you know, have a great experience, have a great time, but really learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like really grown from it. And
yeah.
Now you're back and you're able to sort of try it all out again. I mean, you know, one of the great things about Fringe is it does really allow for artists to develop their craft in a place that's pretty forgiving.
And, absolutely.
But, you know, also fortunate for you, you were also able to pick up some cool mentors and stuff.
Yeah, I can't be more thankful for my experience. It was nothing but positive. And it's all about right now. I'm still fairly young in terms of my career. And
mm-hmm.
still growing as a better professional, and all I want to do is be the best magician that I can possibly be, and the only way I'm going to do that is by performing as much as possible and getting the feedback from people like Christian and Catalina. And the only way to do that is to do shows like The Fringe. And it's
yeah.
great because you're right, the audience is so wonderful and supportive. Regardless, if something messes up, I'm okay with it because I know the audience is still kind of behind me and,
yeah.
and really excited to see the show and to grow with me almost. So it's really awesome.
Now, one thing that I love about your stage persona is that it is kind of it's kind of this casual girl up
yeah.
there who's kind of like, oh, I'm doing magic, you know. Is that still there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's me 100% of the time. Is sort of I love magic, and sometimes I still fool myself when something happens. I just get so excited. And I really am just excited to be on a stage, and it feels just like home. And that hasn't gone away at all, is that my personality and general excited, enthusiastic, yay, is still there.
That's
and
cool.
Yeah, I love being able to share that.
Awesome. Yeah, your enthusiasm is definitely
yeah,
contagious.
Yay. Thank you.
So how did you get into magic as a girl? I mean, you know, there's a lot more guys in magic than girls. So.
Quite, yes. So I started doing magic when I was 7. I had mm-hmm. already been involved in theater in terms of acting and mostly dance at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for something to do for my second grade school talent show. And my father and I just sort of happened to wander into a magic shop in the middle of Connecticut, which is where I grew up. And I just fell in love with it and started taking lessons. And I soon after found my mentor, who mentored me up until he passed away a few years ago and was my biggest inspiration. And, you know, he got me huge shows that I could have never gotten without him
mm-hmm.
at such a young age, and made great connections because of him. And he really was the catalyst to my career. And you're right, is that there are very few women in magic. And so it's fun to sort of be the anomaly. And I get to put really cool spins on things that the guys do
mm-hmm.
that the guys can't do. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I get to put the little feminism mm-hmm. twist on things, and it just makes it a little bit more fun.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Now, hanging out in Vegas,
yeah.
So you and David Copperfield just like go out to dinner all the time?
Oh, definitely.
Stuff.
Best friends. Like, we get coffee and no. if only. No, I have seen him since I have been in Vegas, mm-hmm. and he's...
I mean, obviously winning his contest was a big deal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm still sort of reeling from it. I mm-hmm. still don't believe that it happened. And just to have the connection with him and some of his staff, like Chris Kenner and Big Names in Magic. And that's one of the reasons that Christian and Catalina and I sort of connected originally was that we were talking about it, and that, you know, sparked that sort of mentorship. And so it's not just a connection that I've made with Copperfield. It's connections that I'm making because of it. It's such a wonderful networking tool, and it's just a great thing. It was just such a positive experience, and getting to see David's warehouse and museum of all of
I've heard it's pretty amazing.
Holy moly. At one point I cried because I was holding this incredibly old artifact. Just, it was crazy to hold that amount of history.
I've heard he's got the best collection in the world.
Yeah, hands down. I very much doubt that anyone can rival that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So before we wrap this up, any cool new tricks you're working on, or anything new you can share with us?
I think, you know, coming to the show, you're going to see a ton of new things. So I highly recommend it. I'm always working on ideas, got notebooks filled with things. And I'm just really excited to continue to share my stuff with the world. And here I am in Indy sharing some new stuff with all of you for the first time.
All family show.
Yes, completely yes, family show. Mm-hmm. It's geared towards every age. So it's not just for kids. It's not just for adults. It's for absolutely everybody. And I really pride myself on making sure that's a thing. So I hope everybody comes. Yay.
Excellent. Kaylee, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Travis DiNicola with magician Kayla Drescher. You can catch her Indie Fringe show at the Indie Fringe Basile Theater Friday night at 6, Saturday at 4:30, and Sunday at 7:30 this weekend, plus more times next week. The complete schedule is at indiefringe.org. It's magic, indiefringe.org. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
A couple of the multifaceted events we have for today's calendar really tell you that the summer is winding down.
Oh.
But there's so much fun still to be had, and we'll give you some ideas on that calendar recall. What do we do?
Well, Sharon, this is the last weekend for the State Fair.
It's the last weekend for the Indiana State Fair.
And I've heard a rumor you're going to be out there?
I'm going to be out there in the Master Gardener Demonstration Garden, which is near the Department of Natural Resources. It's kind of a secret. It's not quite on the beaten path, but there's a great vendor with fabulous fish and chips and fish sandwiches right next to the demo garden. But it's this wonderful demonstration garden that you might want to visit to get ideas for your own vegetable or flower gardens. And then I'm also going to have a shift in the tomato juice stand. Frosty cold tomato juice with all the fixings except for vodka. Sorry, can't do that.
And where was tomato juice invented?
I don't know.
At French Lick.
Was it really?
It was. That was the first place that ever served tomato juice.
That's so appropriate.
Yes.
It's such a big crop in Indiana, too. So if you're in the agriculture horticulture building, come on by for a fresh ice-cold glass of tomato juice.
And again, what time are you going to be with the Master Gardeners?
Noon to 3 on Sunday.
You're quite the gardener,
Sharon. So come by. It's so much fun. And did we tell them this was What Will We Do?
Yes, we did.
We did, okay.
We did. Yeah, they know.
They know by now? If you're a first-time listener, you're going to be like, wait, what's happening? Don't worry. It'll all make sense to you eventually. And you are super busy this week because you're involved with a Fringe show.
I am in a Fringe show. Yeah, it's my first Fringe show, and it's called Jacked, a Fracture Folktale. And it was written by the great storyteller Bob Sander, who's in the show, along with me and Will Gould and Jim Poyser and a whole bunch of other fun
people. Is this one of those family-friendly ones, or is this more... Does this have more a little of an adult twist?
It's ages 12 and up. There are some sort of racy moments in it, or suggestive, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's sort of a like a radio drama, an old school radio drama.
Oh.
But the story is about Jack and the Beanstalk, Jacked.
Yeah.
So a fractured folktale. And it is a lot of fun. It's a very goofy show. As done as, you know, like you're the audience of a live radio show is the way that the premise works. And
wait, are you doing the sound effects?
There are lots of sound effects.
Cool.
I am not doing the sound effects myself. But so Friday night, the 15th at 7:30, Saturday, the 16th at 6, Sunday at 9 o'clock. And then we also have performances next Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. It's all in the Indie Fringe schedule. But the performances are going to be at the Cook Theater at Indiana Landmarks Center.
Awesome.
And I'm looking forward to being in my first Fringe.
What a trip. I love it.
Yeah, it should be fun.
So much fun. Mm-hmm. So much fun. So if you can't find something to do between the State Fair and the Indie Fringe Festival, you're not looking very hard. But
oh my gosh.
We do have some other suggestions for things going on this weekend and other things coming up. Actually, if you are involved with a school, especially if you're a poetry teacher, English teacher, writing teacher, the Indiana Arts Commission is once again inviting schools to participate in Poetry Out Loud, which is a competition. I should probably expand that to theater, drama, speech teachers as well, because what this contest is a poetry recitation contest. And it's actually sponsored nationally by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation. And the 2015 event marks the 10th anniversary for Poetry Out Loud, both in Indiana and nationally. We've been involved since the beginning. You can find out more by calling Sarah Fronczak at 317-232-1274, 317-232-1274, or emailing her at SF, like in Frank, R-O-N, CZEK at iac.in.gov, or just Google Poetry Out Loud Indiana and you'll get to places to contact. And it's I got to judge this a couple of years ago. It's
yeah.
It's really impressive.
Very cool.
How much time these students put into dramatic interpretation, memorization, and figuring out just how to make the impact that the poet intended.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's very cool. Hey, if you're still looking for something to do Saturday night, then you might want to check out the Speakeasy event. That is, it's a benefit for United Way of Central Indiana. It's an evening of jazz and flappers. Tickets are available. It starts on Saturday at 8 p.m. And this is the deal. You're supposed to meet at Fountain Plaza in Fountain Square down at Virginia and Prospect. And after you checked in, you'll then be guided down the cultural trail a few blocks to a secret location where the speakeasy is located. That's so cool. And then and there's going to be jazz by the Indie Jazz Fest Quartet and the Icarus Ensemble. And your admission, $35, includes some food, hors d'oeuvres, some drinks, and some great entertainment. And then there's an after party at Thunderbird, which is pretty cool as well. And again, this all benefits United Way of Central Indiana. You can get more information on their site or just show up in Fountain Square on Saturday at 8 p.m.
And we'll have lots more information about Jazz Fest.
And costumes
which is...
are welcome, by the
way. Oh,
if you want to go as a flapper.
Get your flapper costume. Mm-hmm. Out or your zoot suit, depending. Hey, those of you who had a long tradition of going to the Penrod Arts Fair, either working a booth or maybe just going and enjoying it and then going to Greek Fest, remember you can't do that this year because they're on different weekends. Don't forget the 41st annual Greek Festival is next weekend. That's Friday the 22nd, Saturday the 23rd, and Sunday the 24th, 4 to 10 on Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. So Greek Fest and then Penrod a little bit later.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're looking for a road trip, a short road trip, actually, for next weekend.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom. Go down to Columbus. They've got events going on the 22nd through the 24th. On Friday and Saturday, they're doing their what they call their meltdown, which includes some glass forming workshops and especially the iron pour, which is really cool. Mm. And it's in conjunction with the Art Fest that's going on in Columbus, the Columbus Art Fest, sponsored by the Columbus Area Arts Council. And that's going on Saturday and Sunday with lots of artwork from all sort of regional and local artists, all mixed media, all that sort of stuff. So very cool. Lots of good stuff going on in Columbus.
Love that. I have a road trip that's going to send you south as well. So vroom, vroom again. This weekend's the annual Madison Ribber. No, I'm not saying river. I'm saying ribber as in barbecue. Yum, yum. Fest, Barbecue and Blues. It's a two-day festival this Saturday and Sunday in Madison. It'll be hard to miss because Madison isn't that big, trust me. Nine great blues bands set to take the stage on Friday evening and all day Saturday. And, of course, amazing food, barbecue competitions, boat rides, adult beverages, things to do for kids. This year's headliners are Taj Mahal Trio on Friday night and Roy Rogers and the Delta Rhythm Kings on Saturday night.
Nice.
Lots of fun down on the river.
That sounds very good. Hey, you might want to bring your ukulele out to Irvington next week, because on Thursday the 21st at 6:30, the regular Irvington Ukulele Jam is taking place again at Book Mama's, that great little bookstore in Irvington. And they do this kind of frequently. But
I don't know why that makes me so happy.
It's such a fun thing, the Ukulele Jam. So Thursday, 6:30 at Book Mama's in Irvington. Bring your ukulele and join them in the Underground 9 studio.
Hey, at Gallery 2, 5914 North College Avenue, 20 recent works in oil celebrating summer. Yes, it is still summer. And in specifically, these 20 works celebrate summer in Indiana. They're painted by Addie Hirschen, and you can get more information at gallery-2.com. But if you're looking to maybe change up your house, perk it up a little bit with some new art, go look at Gallery 2 at this lovely exhibition.
Well, last thing I've got, Sharon, if you've been out to the IMA recently, you may have noticed some very large brush strokes that have made an appearance on the lawn at the IMA. They are Roy Lichtenstein's five brush strokes, which is a really, really cool addition to the museum's outdoor sculpture program. This piece has never been assembled before the way that it is, and it's a new permanent addition to the IMA. It consists of five different elements. The largest is over 40 feet tall. They've never been assembled like this. This is awesome. And they've just finished installing it, so you can look at it now, but the official premiere is going to be part of a big block party that's going to be taking place on August 29th. And there'll be DJs and food trucks and all sorts of special programs and lawn games. And that evening, they're showing The Godfather as part of their Summer Nights series. So it's going to be a whole day.
You talking to me?
Got an offer you just can't refuse,
that's
Sharon.
That's right.
But very cool. I'm very excited about this new piece at the IMA.
Yeah. Big piece. Hey, I have another road trip for next weekend. Enjoy the view along the Ohio River, aboard a relaxing river road cruise departing from Vivi, Indiana. Vivi. It's part of the, believe it or not, 43rd Swiss Wine Festival, which is going on next weekend as well. Again, more information available on the internet. Lots to do.
Lots to
do.
Well, let's go check out the State Fair and the Fringe Festival, Sharon.
I love it.
And we'll be back next week with more things to do on that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Sam Simon has had a high-profile career as an attorney and consumer rights advocate, and he's no stranger to the spotlight. For years, he's appeared on the spectrum of TV talk shows discussing legal issues. But something happened in his wife's life that caused Sam to turn to his inner creative writer and improv artist. Sharon Gamble invited Sam to talk about The Actual Dance, his award-winning one-man storytelling play that is part of this year's Indie Fringe Festival.
So I want to start with the fact that, Sam, you've led a life that is somewhat calibrated on the world being fair. You're trained as an attorney. You worked deeply in consumer rights. And then something happened to your wife and, of course, to you that made it apparent that the world isn't as logical as you want it to be. How did you figure out how to have a response that resulted in this play?
Well, the truth is, and thank you for having me on the show, but the truth is that I was uniquely prepared for this.
Really?
In the show, I say this is not the first time. In fact, I have had a long relationship with illness. My mother had breast cancer and passed away from breast cancer. My father died when I was 25. We came from a very large family, and in fact, one of my earliest memories is that my grandfather died, and then my aunts, four aunts, two uncles. So I wasn't unaware. The fact that it had, that this was happening to me wasn't necessarily a surprise. How I related to it, how intimate the experience was, I think, in retrospect, has surprised me. And it is something I think other people probably experience, that over time, this unique experience of being involved in a illness or of someone you love, how that affects you and how you manage it, is a life-defining, even more than that, a spiritually defining period of time.
There's a chance to just check out and say, it's out of my hands.
The response is twofold. And what the show focuses on, and there is very little material available, I have found, about what I'm, this area of focus. The show focuses on the role of a person who is in love with someone who is very ill. The caregiving world has a lot to offer for patients, and it has a lot to offer to people who are active caregivers. But we're talking about the space that I often say is in between that. It's not well defined. It's the space of people who have someone they love that is sick, and it's how do I find the strength in beauty and dignity and path for myself and for that person.
And the challenge, I suspect, is to not to remember that the person you love is still in there no matter what's going on in her or his physical reality or medical reality or clinical reality, however you want to state that.
And I found that, indeed, the relationship with that person and that the person you love and you connect in some non-traditional ways, and that it doesn't really matter, per se, whether, what their day is like. It's about, hard to articulate this now. You are always in relationship, and they are always present. The question is defining your presence and being there to support them. And one of the deep lessons I learned, and it's a line in the show, coming to understand that my job is not to be the director, that my job was to be the supporter.
Mm.
And how are you present in that environment when every bone, every fiber, every atom in your being wants to take over and fix it all and make it all good and well, and knowing not only that you can't, but that the most important part is supporting that person and how they need to be supported. Not how you want to support them, but how they need to be supported.
Which is the journey of any love story, really. Whatever interrupts it.
Yeah, yes. And I've come to understand, and this is a discovery I've had about something I wrote, is that it is about what love really means, that the actual dance as a play is about what love really means and the path of discovering that. And it is a happy story. It is not, despite what this may sound like to some people, a sad story. It doesn't mean it's not easy. It describes a difficult moment or in period of time, but the story is a story of finding grace in some ways.
Mm-hmm. When you first thought, I should write about this, was a play the format you thought it would come out as?
The funny thing is, the play in some ways happened. The writing was being done at the encouragement of some acting teachers and improv teachers, the method of storytelling. Improvise a story, write it down, perform it. And I have a number of stories in my life, and the ones that some of my teachers were encouraging me to use didn't mean as much to me. I did not know this story was in me until I started writing it. And I have been surprised by it, and it has now become a calling for me to tell the story because of I found it. The experience of the story that I present has the ability to change people's lives.
And it's continuing to change your life. You mentioned before we actually turned the microphones on that you've performed it more than 50 times, which, of course, is hundreds of rehearsals. But you're still discovering something new each time you step on that stage.
Yes, I am finding something new, not just in my performance, but in the story and in the words. And again, I'm humbled by it. It sounds odd, perhaps, for a playwright to say, I wrote this thing, and what I'm finding in it surprises me and creates a sense of obligation and humility on my part to not only perform it, but to be engaged with those who see it and learn more. And I now blog. I've written some poetry. On the website, there are poems, and I encourage people to look at it. So I continue to discover. I never thought I would write poetry, much less a show. It has transformed my life, and it is hopefully providing a lot of people with their own resources to find meaning in their life in a difficult time.
Tell us a story. You must have people come up to you after performances to share a little bit of insight about their own journeys that they're going through or went through in the past.
Yes, and that's what so energizes me for me. First of all, I would love more men to see this play. I've told I'm a rare male voice in a breast cancer journey, and so many of the husbands who have been through it with their wives have thanked me because they said, that's exactly what I was thinking, and they have the same phenomena I had. I was reluctant to talk about it, and it's been characterized by one article as speaking the unspeakable through theater. And men don't talk. So having men come up to me, and another one was a man came up to me, and somebody I'd known for a while. He said, Sam, you know me for a while, but I never told you. In his instance, he said, I had prostate cancer. Said, and I never really understood why my wife behaved the way she did. And I think I now understand. And, for me to just hear that, I could get it. And so, in relationships, it may be that the person who's had the cancer, doesn't understand their spouse or their parent or their brother, whomever it is who's close to them, and how they're acting or behaving. And this show gave insight. And then the last one is a woman who actually worked at the emergency department of Sinai Hospital in New York saw the show. And she had lost both her parents, and she both in a discussion and in an email said the experience of the show gave her a new frame to understand her experience and had changed, transformed both her and her family's understanding of what had happened to them. And to me, to be able to be of service in that way is humbling. And it's why I continue to do the show.
This is a calling.
It has become a calling for me, one that I could not understand what happened. The one last thing, there is a scene in the show, and it's a scene that involves the supernatural. And I've had several people, including a person who is a clergy person, who privately would come up and say, I had the same thing happen to me, and I've never been able to tell anybody or admit it. So there's plenty of room in the show for a lot of different aspects and angles to it that, as we've talked about, continue to amaze me, and I'm sure will continue to surprise me.
Sharon Gamble with Sam Simon. Learn more about Sam's work at theactualdance.com. Again, theactualdance.com. And find out when you can see Sam in his one-man storytelling play at indiefringe.org. Again, indiefringe.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll get a preview of this year's International Violin Competition.
I'll take a look at the Actors Theater of Indiana's upcoming season.
And I'll find out how Big Car is celebrating its 10th birthday. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.